Welcome. My name is Jennifer Olson, and you're joining us for the new Executive Leadership Summit. My guest today is an amazing man. He's a leader, a former business owner, an innovator, and he's a crusader with a heart of gold. I happen to know him fairly well. We met about 5 years ago at Naropa University, and it is such my pleasure to welcome Aaron Mansica today. Aaron grew up exploring the forests of New Jersey, and yes, he assures me that there are beautiful forests in New Jersey, and he also enjoyed exploring the beaches of Florida. He studied biology at Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida, where he also created the college's first environmental studies program. Straight out of college, he was director of an office in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, lobbying for better environmental protection. When he moved to Boulder in the mid-90s, he ran a nonprofit organization focused on peace and justice issues. Aaron earned his master's in environmental leadership from Naropa University, where he still consults today to ensure that the school continues pioneering meaningful education. In 2006, Aaron founded Boulder Best Organics, a company selling gift boxes of organic products made exclusively by Boulder-based businesses. The company was recognized in 2008 as the fastest-growing business in the Boulder Valley region, and Aaron was nominated for the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. He successfully sold the company in 2009. Aaron is now director of Naturally Boulder, a trade association aiming to strengthen the thriving natural products business community throughout Colorado. Aaron says what he enjoys most about his career path is working with an inspired group of people who recognize the need and ability for the business world to promote positive social change. So now that I've given our listeners an overview, Aaron, it would be great if you can take just a minute to tell us about who you are personally so we can get to know the real you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for the introduction, for this opportunity. Yes, Jennifer and I, we've known each other now for about 5 years, and I just enjoy talking with you, whether we're doing an interview or whether we're just talking. I genuinely enjoy talking with you, so thank you for this chance. Well, I guess what's most important to me now is my identity as a relatively new father. I have a 2.5-year-old son, and boy, I tell you, seeing the world through his eyes, it is refreshing, frightening, inspiring, things I never even knew existed, emotions. So that is the foreground, and it feels like I've shifted perspective on how I approach my work, how I approach my life in general. I say that it has shifted every nuance of my life. Of course, the big things like how I spend my time, how I spend my money, what I think is important, but even the little things, being a new dad, where I put my keys away at night, where I put my shoes when I take them off. So I'm still getting used to this new identity, but having a ball with it.
Yeah, and yeah, they certainly change your life in a very, we've said congratulations in the past, but he's such an amazing little boy. So congratulations again.
That.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So tell us a little bit about Naturally Boulder and what you're seeking to do as a leader with your board through that organization.
Sure. So Naturally Boulder, it's interesting because it's not really a regular business. Of course, it's recognized by the IRS as a 501c6, which is the designation they give to a trade association. So we are charged with promoting and protecting the natural products industry, not just in the Boulder City or Boulder County or even the Front Range, but really our scope has grown to be the entire Colorado and this region of the country. We really stand on two solid legs. One is education and one is networking. Education for entrepreneurs who are just getting into the natural products world, whether they've been in the natural products industry for 5 to 10 years or even the veterans are coming to our education events when we do a deep dive on a particular topic. Our education events used to draw 15 to 20 people, and sometimes now we run out of chairs at over 100 people. So education that's really hard to find anywhere else. We'll put together top-notch panels around how to formulate a business, how to formulate a product, where do you find investment, what do you do with it when you finally get it. So I'm really proud of the education that we offer to our community. And the next leg is networking. Sometimes, you know, the old adage, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So we successfully gather every month over 150, 160 industry professionals in one place at the same time. And, man, it is really dynamic. You know, being in the Boulder area, we have everything from high school students who are just really on top of the game college students who are looking for their next internship or their first job, startups who are just have the concept or maybe a year or two of sales under their belt, companies that are just on the verge of going national, and then some of the pioneer industry companies like White Wave and Celestial Seasoning. We'll get people from all those walks of life in the same room at the same time and just watch what happens. The next generation is learning. You know, the pioneer generation from the 60s and 70s, they're paying it back. They're paying it back to the community that really supported them. Education and networking, really what Naturally Boulder thrives at. The mission is really to help develop the community leadership and innovation of this region nationally, so that we continue to be the epicenter of the natural products industry. I like to say that Boulder really created this in the 60s and 70s, and we're still doing it. You know, we still have brands that are emerging from Boulder, getting very popular in the Colorado region, and then going national. And, you know, just brands that I knew 3-4 years ago that were getting starting up, they're now in every Target in the country. So I like to think Naturally Boulder has had something to do with this. So, yeah, we're behind the scenes really promoting the industry and helping secure Boulder's foothold as the leader in the nation.
That's great. And what do you do every day to kind of take a step towards that leadership vision of helping startups as well as pioneering companies in the natural products industry? How do you help them through Naturally Boulder each and every day to be the best?
That's a great question. And you know, really, some days, you know, it's just spending 5 or 10 minutes with a member, helping them renew their membership. You know, seemingly really small inconsequential steps, but it's forming a relationship with one of our members. We have about 1,000 members now. Other days, it may be just 2 weeks ago, I was in the governor's office talking with the governor about how the state's economy really is driven by, you know, a handful of industries. One of them is Colorado's natural products industry. And just a side note, he said he loves that, and he loves holding it over the heads of other governors from other states that he can say that his home state is, such a leader in a clean, healthy, life-affirming industry such as the natural and organic industry. So some days it seems really kind of small. Other days it's, the more high-profile things. But if I were going to kind of put it under an umbrella, the umbrella would be meeting people where they are. Really meeting people where they are, finding out what service we might be able to provide to them right there in the moment, and serving them as well as possible.
I love that. And I love that that Colorado is known, right, for healthy living, clean breathing, and for the natural and organic products that it brings. I mean, that's one of the reasons I love living here, is I can really stand along with others who are making a huge impact and difference every day. So I love that the governor is recognizing that and seeing that as such a great advantage against other governors in his line of work. That's great.
And we even equipped our governor with half a dozen companies, the names of half a dozen companies that have relocated into this state just to be part of this startup ecosystem. They might be, 5-10 years in business on the East Coast or on the West Coast, and they recognize that to get it to the next level, they give themselves the benefit, every chance of success by moving to the Boulder, Denver area, whether they're looking for greater talent or, just access to capital, or a very knowledgeable consumer base, or even just the prestige of having that, that particular zip code. We equipped the governor with half a dozen examples of brands that actively chose to relocate their business into the Boulder, Denver area.
That's great. I love it. So for me, I really like to talk about this next subject because I don't think we talk enough about it, and I'm a kind of on my own personal mission to talk about this as much as possible. I don't think anyone can be successful without making and learning from mistakes along the way. Mm. And for all leaders, somewhere in that journey lies failure, right? Mm. So I think we have to get really comfortable with talking about all of our mistakes and failures, because that's where the true stretching and growing happens. So Aaron, I'd love for you to tell us about a failure in your own journey and, you know, start with the events that led up to that failure.
Yeah, sure. And I think you're totally right. I think failure is such a loaded term and people have such a negative connotation about it. But, you know, the expression is true. You may learn more from your failures than from your successes. So I sometimes ask people, or even, you know, when I'm kind of talking within myself, to instead of trying to, that feels like a big ask, stop thinking of failure as a negative. Rather, maybe think of your experiences differently. So rather than using the word failure, I think of, you know, for the example I'm going to share with you, a recognition of my limit. And it just seems like it goes down a little bit easier that way. whether you use the word failure or recognizing your limits, I think the point is the same, to appreciate the value of those experiences. So the Boulder's Best Organics company that you referenced, I started in 2006 with just a concept working from my home. I actually started it in the basement of my home, so I say I grew it from below the ground up. And by 2008, it was recognized as the second fastest growing company in Boulder Valley. I was nominated, as you said, for the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. We were celebrated in the local media. Some local publications recognized us as the top eco gift of the year. It was really thrilling, very exciting, and very gratifying. But at the same time, it was killing me. You know, I was working easily 80 hours a week. I was losing friendships. I stopped exercising. You know, dinner was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night in front of the TV. Then I would work another couple of hours. So by late 2008, I was really having a difficult time just keeping my head above water. People who knew me, you know, my family, my friends who have known me, you know, for all my life or nearly, were worried about me. And I finally had to acknowledge this is getting bigger than I can handle. I didn't want to be managing a lot of staff, so I did a lot of it myself. And, you know, of course, we had two or three part-time people who would help when things got really busy and friends would be willing to pitch in. But I had to acknowledge, hey, man, you reached your limit. You know, on the verge of some sort of breakdown, it felt like. So when I think from that, I recognize, you know, one, or I can appreciate the importance of knowing what your limit is and how to identify it and when to pull back. I remember giving a talk somewhere that said, and I said to the crowd, you know, people are going to encourage you to take a break. Don't take a break. Sometimes you're going to still want to take a break. Don't take a break. And I said, well, when you know you need to take a break, absolutely give yourself that break. Because some people, I think, drive themselves so much that they then resent the very thing that used to inspire them.
Yeah.
So I think recognizing your limit, not being afraid of it, not thinking of it as a failure, but that really is. That's your capacity. And to maintain a balance, I think limitations are healthy and essential.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting that you look at the failure as a limit. I would add to that, you know, limits are fluid, right? So where a limit is at one point in our life, it may shift and change to something else. As we expand or get different resources, or just, you know, have a mind shift around what limit means, right? So like failure, it's a fluid expression of who we are at a specific moment in time, but that can change, as can the evolution.
I think you put words to what I was trying to get to. It's the fluidity of the word limit, because it's a moving target sometimes. What you're capable of doing one day, you may be able to eclipse the next, or it may be too much the next. Same with failure. I think it's easier to grasp that concept with the word limitation than with failure, but what is a failure today may have looked like a success a week ago, or it may look like a success a week from now. So the fluidity of that concept of failure, I think, is important to grasp.
I love that. And, you know, on the converse of failure, I think most of us as leaders also feel like there's a skill, a strategy, or tool that we become really passionate about because we learned that it was a key or a catalyst in our own personal and professional success, kind of a, you know, like an aha moment for us personally, so to speak. So I'm curious, what was that thing or that moment for you?
Sitting meditation, hands down, sitting meditation. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the one, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's the gift I can give to myself every day, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And I really think that helped me push through what I thought were preconceived limitations, relate, you know, change how I relate to even what I perceived as a failure. And I would take a walk almost every night and just have a 10, 20-minute quiet moment, just reflecting upon the day, and then not even reflecting, just really doing walking meditation. And it felt like an opportunity for I use past tense because, like everything else, my practice comes and goes, and I have to acknowledge for the past probably month or two, sitting meditation has been very difficult for me to achieve. But when I was really stressed out, you know, it's growing the business, I would take a walk nearly every night, and it would be an opportunity for me to differentiate between what was important, you know, what I was doing in the day was important, but then to shift into some sort of absolute world where I could differentiate between important and serious. And what I was working on was important, day-to-day, of course, but it wasn't serious. Family, health, wellness, relationships, those things seemed to fall into an absolute world rather than the relative world. Just taking those walks at night, having some sort of meditative practice to ground me. And I also do Tai Chi, and you know, one of the features of Tai Chi is knowing where your center is, you know, knowing where your center of gravity is, so that you can safely extend left or safely extend right without falling over. You can come back to that center. And what an analogy for light. You know where your limit is, and you know how to come back. I'm grateful for the, you know, and so meditation, I went into it so reluctantly, thinking it was going to be some woo-woo thing. And the more I got into it, the more I appreciated that it is whatever it is, what you make of it. And one of the things I want to make of it is a very pragmatic business skill, so that I can go into a meeting without worrying about whatever I was worrying about, and bring that into the meeting, and just go into the meeting or into a sales conference, or even, you know, writing copy for the website with a quiet mind and not polluted with what I was wondering about the other day or what's upsetting me or, you know, ego. And it felt like that really did give me a pragmatic business advantage.
I love it. Yeah, meditation can be an amazing tool. And it sounds like you really utilize it to quiet the mind, to get focused, prioritize. And I imagine quiet the body as well before you go into the next activity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I guess one last thing on that is it feels like it opens up your intuitive knowing. You know, I think we're so used to just having kind of the logical knowing. And I think the intuitive knowing is so readily available if the narrator in our head goes away for a little while. The intuitive knowledge just springs forth. And the concept for the business came during a meditative sit. The logo, some of the tagline. So I feel like that's a way to tap into an innate creativity.
Absolutely. That's a great reminder that if we can't quiet the mind, creativity and innovation, they can't bubble up from anywhere.
That's how I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's great. So, Aaron, I know you love working with individuals who are passionate about using business as a tool for positive change. What inspired you down this path?
Ooh, that's a great question. When I was in undergrad and I was studying science, I mean, I was going straight bio, you know, undergrad degree. Many of my friends ended up going pre-med, and I decided that's not the life I wanted. I didn't want to just stare through a microscope, but one of the lines I read in a book said, I live in a straw home and I smell smoke. And I didn't feel like I needed any more input. I understood we're facing a crisis. I can keep studying it, or I can go out and advocate that we develop a deeper solution. So that's when I created the environmental studies major undergrad. And I felt like it needed some economics, and it needed some communications, it needed some statistics, and as well, of course, as the science. So then when I graduated, I lobbied for environmental issues with Sierra Club and the Public Interest Research Group. We did some work with Greenpeace. And it felt to me like so much of that, as successful as it is, you know, as venerable as those institutions are, and I respect them, a lot of it was founded in sort of this poverty mentality. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough energy, not enough attention. So I soon felt like not only is the science world not fulfilling me, the nonprofit and social activism world wasn't fully fulfilling me. So when I was at Nairobi University, I was asked to really, you know, think about who I am in the world and what I want to contribute. And I looked around and I said, you know what? I'm an entrepreneur. That's who I am. And I want to use the business world to promote positive social change. Because it felt like the business world is so in control of much of our culture. And I used the example that, you know, the little squiggly light bulbs that are so commonplace now, if a nonprofit were advocating that, we would have a different relationship with those innovations. Or if the government had mandated it, again, we would have had a different relationship. But instead, an innovative company said, hey, everybody, we have a better product, and here's why. And we're differentiated from our competitors. And people accepted them so readily that within a couple of years, those old-fashioned light bulbs are now old-fashioned light bulbs. Whereas before, we just thought, it's a light bulb. You can't do anything with it. So I feel like the business world is an incredibly powerful tool if it's guided, of course, with ethics and transparency and integrity. So just recognizing that the science world didn't fulfill me, the nonprofit world didn't fulfill me, but boy, the business world feels like it's got so much potential. And I think we're seeing it. I mean, you know, it's bubbling up all over the place with healthier eating, healthier driving. We have a long ways to go, but the business world is recognizing that if they offer a more attractive solution and they differentiate themselves from their past or from their competitors, they're going to make more profit. And that brings up a whole other discussion, but I think they're reorienting, you know, the business world in general is reorienting what business is supposed to do.
I love that. So what are some great examples of businesses doing this today, and specifically, how are they creating positive change?
That's a good. To use the example, you know, a few examples that I work with closely, Big Food, you know, Big Food, you know, you see many, you know, farmers markets, of course. Let's start with the small ones, you know, farmers markets. You buy local, you buy from your neighbors, and often the products are made without the preservatives and the corn syrup and, you know, the artificials. It's just made with more care. Well, you know, that was going on for, you know, many decades. The large food companies, you know, the Kraft, the General Mills, they've taken notice. It wasn't right away, but they're taking notice and being forced, in order to stay relevant, being forced to shift how they do business. You know, there are now gluten-free Cheerios, and there are organic Twinkies. So it's still a little messy. But I think that, like I said before, the trend is right on target, and the big companies are buying the smaller brands and giving them greater exposure, giving them greater capital, you know, taking what used to only be available in a town and putting some muscle behind it, so now it's available all over the country. A good example locally is Larabar. You know, I remember meeting with Lara back in like 2007 or 2008, and that's when she was quote-unquote successful. You know, she had gotten her Larabars in, you know, 100 local stores, and people were starting to recognize them as high quality, you know, raw, delicious. Eventually, Lara sold her company to General Mills. Now you can find a Larabar almost in any Target, in almost any grocery store in the country, making that better for you product so much more readily available. That some people may say, it's a bad thing when a small company sells to a big company, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's exactly what is necessary, because I feel like our food system, for one, has big, big problems, so we need big, big companies to help address those problems.
I think those are some great examples, and I personally love that it's becoming more accessible, so that if you're going into Minnesota, which I travel to with some regularity, you can find some great stuff in the stores, even in some really small areas. Whereas before, you were stranded and you really only had, like a Walmart or maybe a local grocery store that may not have that kind of product span in the stores. So I love it. I love that innovative and creativity that comes out of the smaller company, but then also that it can be leveraged.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the retailer who sells the most organics in our country is Walmart. So many people are down on Walmart, but the fact is they are bringing a better-for-you product to more people than anyone else.
That's amazing. And that's a good reminder, because I'm probably one of those people at times, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows you that nothing is all bad and nothing is all good.
Yeah. That's a great reminder. So, Aaron, we've reached what I'm calling the lightning round, where I get to provide you a series of questions, and you get to come back at us with quick, amazing, and mind-blowing answers. So are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. So what was holding you back from becoming a leader?
Ooh, probably my own fears,
mm-hmm.
my own hesitations and inhibitions. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Will people like me? And once I kind of let go of that, I know it's lightning, but I'll take a quick 20 seconds.
Go ahead. Yep.
I was about to go up and speak. I didn't know I was going to be a speaker at an event. They invited me, and I said, sure. Next thing I know, they said, you'll go on in 5 minutes. I didn't know what they were talking about. I had nothing prepared. So I'm standing in front of the podium, and I feel my body trembling, and I'm nervous, just like I used to get when I was, in elementary school. And I thought, this is silly. Just drop it. You've been doing the same reaction to speaking in public your whole life. Just drop it. And suddenly I was so calm, and I just spoke to the community calmly and just casually. And it was one of the best speaking engagements I ever had. So just my own fear, it gets in the way. Just drop it.
Yeah, great. So what is the best advice you've ever received?
A professor at Naropa University, I was talking with her. She said, what do you want to do with your thesis? I said, I want to change people. She said, nope, try again. I said, I want to make people realize. She said, nope, you're not going to change people. You're not going to make them realize. What can you do? I don't know. She said, you can become spontaneously magnetic.
Mm.
If your vision is so attractive and you model it and it is spontaneously attractive, people will do what you want them to do, but they'll do it on their own will. So to not try to change people, but instead to model the way so that your vision is spontaneously attractive.
I love that. I love it. I'm going to steal it. So can you share one of your personal habits that you believe contributes to your success?
I alluded to it earlier, and taking those walks at night, just to have a little bit of downtime to differentiate between, the relative world that I've been engaged with all day and the absolute world, which is kind of the meaning of life. So taking time to differentiate between those two.
Great. And do you have an internet resource that you are in love with that you will share with our listeners?
I really am not very engaged with social media or internet in general. I mean, of course, I'm online nearly all day, every day.
Sure.
But as soon as I have the opportunity to turn it off, I do.
Yeah.
I play with my kid. I go for a jog. I'll cook. And I'm a little bit embarrassed to say I don't have an internet resource that I'm in love with and I use every day. And I'm a little bit proud of it.
I say be proud of it. I think disconnecting is probably the biggest gift that you can give the people around you.
It's not always easy. But it's always worth it.
Good for you. So tell me, we talked a little bit about this, so I know that you have some great resources at Naturally Bolder. Do you want to share a little bit about what those are with our listeners today?
Yeah, so many of the education events that we do are, of course, focused specifically to the natural products, natural foods industry, and yet we have a tremendous amount of resource that is available for free to entrepreneurs of all types. It doesn't matter what the industry is. Formulating a business is formulating a business. So on our website, we have many PDFs, many PowerPoints available for free, download, naturallyboulder.org, naturallyboulder.org. Education panels that we assemble, they'll be luminaries in the world of finance, in the world of marketing, in the world of social media. And these are people who are hard to track down on the phone. You know, you may play phone tag for 2 months before you can even get a few minutes with them. And there they are sitting on a panel with three or four of their cohorts, three or four of their colleagues, doing Q&A, giving a deep dive on what they do all day. So it is a tremendous 30-minute, 60-minute session. And much of their information is on our website for free, naturallyboulder.org.
That's a huge resource, so thanks for sharing that. That's great.
Yeah, of course.
So listeners, you can find links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. That's DVLPsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. So Aaron, I have so enjoyed talking with you today and, you know, hearing about all the different aspects of your journey, which I didn't know all of them, which was awesome. And then all the great stories that you've been sharing. And as we wrap it up, I'd love it if you could share one last piece of advice with our listeners.
Sure. You know, this is an easy one for me to say because I think of it nearly every day. In college and after college, I did a lot of scuba diving. And being in Colorado, that's one of the things I miss the most is my beautiful Gulf of Mexico. Mm. And one of the dive instructors standing on the boat before I went in, he said, plan your dive and then dive your plan. Mm. When you're underwater and you can't communicate as easily, it's important that you stick to that plan. And man, what a piece of advice that I keep taking with me even 20 years later in business, in life. Plan your dive. That's only half of it. Dive your plan. That's equally as important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And Aaron, thank you for being so generous with your time, with your experience, with your expertise, and with all of that amazing wisdom and knowledge that you just gave us.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that there was so much there that our listeners can get started right away, you know, to strengthen their business, to really start thinking about how they're going to do things differently and, you know, how they're going to make a positive impact. Because I think you're right. Like, that's the missing piece for a lot of people. So thank you again for joining me today. I so appreciate it.
You know, and what you are doing with this is so important. To encourage and inspire and show people that it is possible and that they're not alone and there are resources because it's so important to remember that no one out there is, you know, trying to take on the role by themselves. There's a passionate group of people and we're doing it. It really is working.
I love that. So again, for our listeners out there, you can find links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about on today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. And while you're there, we'd really love to hear from you. Tell us what you loved about today's interview and ask any questions that you're dying to know. I promise I'll reach out to Aaron and we'll make sure we get the answers for you. And so with that, we say goodbye for now. Go out and be the leader that you were meant to be. This is Jennifer Olson, and we'll catch you next time.